The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. This is why blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg. And with me, of course, is my trusty bag of Lay's potato chips. Oh, and my co-host, Ovi Kabir. Sorry, since Lay's actually recognized Taylor's existence on social media, I thought I'd try to get an endorsement too.
It's a national holiday at this point right now, the way Lay's has. Oh, I just noticed those are the baked kind.
These are baked. I'm a little bit healthier than Taylor.
I am incredibly unhealthy on this end here. So I am not a fan of the baked ones. I feel like you lose 85% less fat, but 85% less of flavor. So,
oh no, there's plenty of flavor here.
Well, I'm super excited for you, David, and the Lays to talk about this week of why blank lost. We have a good amount to talk about.
Yes. And, last week we said that hopefully we can start getting to some players who weren't voted out because of how they treated Taylor. And in some ways, anyone who's not a leftover was on the outs, at least in part, because of how they treated Taylor. But at least we're past those for whom it was like their defining characteristic. Like their whole game was, I must hate Taylor. I must get Taylor out. And so, now that we've moved on to Indy, we'll get into that, but yeah, to figure out all the reasons that she lost, we'll follow our usual methods of looking at all the information about her from TV, live feeds, interviews, and then comparing her game to a set of guiding rules for winning I originally wrote in 2004 and have modified since, with the most recent version posted at robhaswebsite.com/bigbrotherrules.
Yeah, I love doing this deep dive on players. Some dives a little deeper than others. I will say that.
We might be in the shallow end of the pool on this one.
Exactly. But what's exciting is that we actually get to talk about the jury element within the rules, I'm excited about. So, yeah, I mean, Indy, a lot to talk about outside of her game.
Yeah. Now, before we get to the rules, as always, we'll discuss some things about the week in general. There is, one topic I guess we can cover, but it'll only take us 10 seconds.
10 seconds. I mean, I have never seen more media groups run with this 10-second line. So for those watching at home, do you want to explain what the 10 seconds alludes to, David?
Oh, thanks. Toss that one to me. What they have not, for anyone not watching the feeds, what they have not addressed on the show is that Kyle and Alyssa have, what's the word, made it very official that they are boyfriend and girlfriend, and not just with words. And they did so in the have not room, or I believe, I don't remember if Taryn coined it or someone else coined it, the have naughty room, on the pool floaties. And Kyle has repeatedly said, and there is video of this, there isn't video of their actions, but there's video of him saying, "I'm sorry, I only lasted 10 seconds. I'm not good at sex."
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not going to shame any man for the lack of 10 seconds to somebody feels like an hour. You know, sometimes you just never know. As a man, you just ideas just go. Time flies differently. Yeah. What I will say is that it just, you know, there's cameras there. You know, everyone's listening to it. And I just think it's,
you know, your mom and your grandma are watching.
I think the irony of seeing Kyle's family comment on their relationship when it first initially in that first kiss, and they seem kind of shocked, a little upset, maybe. I don't want to put words in their mouth, but they didn't seem exactly the happiest about that kiss on television. Yeah. I can't imagine what the 10 seconds line's going to do. That the family group chat right now is going wild, is all I can say.
Or it's dead silent.
Or it's dead silent. They're not doing any watch parties anymore for Kyle. So yes, that line has made its rounds around all the internet, and I just hired to the guy, but I think he just forgets that.
Well, I mean,
and we can
know,
hear everything they say.
Yeah, he is, you know, he is known for TikTok, and you know, TikTok is short videos. So
you had that one planned.
Didn't actually. That one just that one just kind of popped into my mind. Yeah, we can move on past that and maybe into a little bit more the strategy of Kyle and Alyssa, because over the past couple of weeks, we've mentioned that the showmance could affect his game as he tries to balance Alyssa with the leftovers. And that's exactly what happened this week. You know, he was getting much closer to her just as the leftovers were telling him to get rid of her. I will say the leftovers. To the leftovers, I'm speaking to you, even though you can't hear me. You are being stupid to think you can convince or pressure Kyle to use the veto so his girlfriend could be voted out. I mean, I know Taylor commented to Monty, for example, that she especially, but everyone else in the leftovers have made personal sacrifices for the alliance, and Kyle hasn't. But no one else has been asked to vote out their romantic partner.
Yeah, I think this was, unfortunately, a misplay by the leftovers. And I think it's just kind of a accumulation of hubris on their end, where they're getting wins after wins after wins. And we made this joke that anybody goes against Taylor, who we've seen on the show, is just leaving left and right. Her right-hand man, Joseph, seeing that, the whole entire group of leftovers kind of feel that. And so I think they felt that they could easily arrange this hit on Alyssa. Unfortunately, there was so many other ways they could go at this. In the same way, we kind of, it was laughable from the attempt to keep Daniel last week, where each one by one by one by one went to Michael as HOH and tried to say, "Hey, I think we have a better plan than getting out Daniel," which almost convinced Michael, but he realized so many people went to him. In
the same famous
form,
Nigerian Prince Alliance, as we
call it. The Nigerian Prince Alliance, exactly. And I think, unfortunately, leftovers deployed a Nigerian Prince Alliance on their own, where I don't think they had the foresight to realize that attack on Alyssa so strongly and adamantly on it would make Kyle feel like he's endangered, which unfortunately it was kind of confirmation for other things that he had in mind.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in their discussions at one point, Kyle said something like, "Well, if you need to vote her out next week, fine." But to me, that sounded like a child when their parent is saying, "Clean your room." And the kid's like, "Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. You just keep pushing it back and you hope that people will forget or things will change or there'll be a big twist where the house is split in two. You know, Kyle, you know, was hoping things would change, I think. And it's just, yeah, he just pushed it back and he's going to deal with it in the future, which, you know, it's probably the best thing for him to do.
Yeah. And I'm curious, the thing I want to say before we get into everything too, credit to Kyle in this part of the game. It would be a dumb move for him to cut out Alyssa at this point. He knows the leftovers aren't going to make it all the way through to final three, final two. They have to attack each other. He's starting to see some of the leftover members get closer because they're putting on from Taylor and Joseph that they're mm-hmm. actively trying to chain themselves together. This idea that now they want to go to from to his final two, his close ally, it's best for his game to kind of figure something out. And so there's many ways he could have gone around it. And I think this is what we might touch on. The way he went around gathering his members was also a misplay because I think it put off some of the members he wanted to bring in too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, this week should have been simple and straightforward. Taylor won HOS. She's part of an alliance that easily has the majority. She was the target of bullying and other a-hole behavior from several people on the other side. Just nominate them. Period. But instead, she, you know, said one was off limits. Understand why. Okay, I get that. But then she promised safety to two more. And, you know, then after all that, she talked to her fellow leftovers and they were like, no, you have not thought this through. You need to rethink it.
This was her HOH. Just honest. Unfortunately, it was a big fumble. It was a big fumble. And it's because she lost control of the HOH. The same mm-hmm. way we criticized Daniel in week one, where he essentially had a opposite of HOH-itis, which Taylor did have HOH-itis, but also lost control of the HOH-itis, yeah. which is the worst thing. You can't go from 100 to 0. And that's what happened. The person she didn't want to go home, really, went home. She let other people to take the moves. And then also, she just had a lot of sloppy gameplay from this week that I think people will point out for concerns from with working with her moving forward. I mean, she almost lost her allies. Like,
yeah, I mean, she ended up with at least one possible correct combination of nominees. Mm-hmm. But even after that, like you said, she almost lost an ally. You know, Joseph's game might literally have been saved by the punishment of being chained to Taylor. Because mm-hmm. until then, they were planning to nominate him for reasons. They still don't make sense to me. And it's quite possible his allies might have turned on him at that point. But once they were tethered, he said, no, it'll look weird for her to nominate me. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't go along with the story that we were giving. And it's like, yeah, because it always would have looked weird for her to nominate you.
I think, unfortunately, they've been playing the story. I think they know, because we talked about this in previous episodes, when you're in the game, in the diary room, you start to understand the narrative that's going. They've all been briefed. They understand the narrative that was happening. I think Taylor knows that what her position in the house from the DR questions and things like that, how she's being portrayed to the public, same way with Joseph. I think the whole leftovers have this idea that they are the good guys, essentially, in this mm-hmm. house, you know, anti-bullying. I unfortunately think that this kind of got in the heads of potentially Joseph, where he wanted to really make good TV. I think Taylor wanted to make really good TV. And here's the thing is sometimes in this games, sometimes the most boring week is the best week for you. I forgot Turner even was in HOH. That's how good he played his HOH week, essentially, because I forgot about it. He also took out a sizable target, you could argue. And now Turner's in a great position. That's the way you want to have it be.
This is something Jessica and I talk about with Survivor all the time, mm-hmm. which is, yes, the producers want you to make good TV. That is their goal. That is not your reason for being there. Mm-hmm. You are there to win the game, to win the money. It doesn't matter to you. That $750,000 is the same whether you make good TV or mm-hmm. terrible TV. So if you are playing to win, who cares about the TV? Mm-hmm. Let the producers worry about that. You play your game.
Exactly. I mean, and play the TV on other weeks where you're not HOH, you know, take them out and bury it. That's what you want to do. You want to take the person out and bury it. And especially it's really important on your jury phase. I think that's when it becomes super crucial, which I think we're going to get into. But some way, weird way, worked out for Taylor in the way Indy went out that she doesn't have hard feelings towards her. But did we want to talk about anything else before?
Yeah. I do want to go back to the Kyle. And we discussed this last week. It goes back to Kyle again. And it was finally brought up on the show last night. His presumption of cookout part two alliance among the non-white house guests, despite the fact that there's zero evidence for it. And there's zero evidence for it because it's not true. Last night on Twitter, you made some very important and insightful statements. And I wanted to give you the floor here again for that, so you can spread it beyond just the Twitter sphere.
I appreciate that. So I think here's the one thing. This is why you should watch Why Blank Losses, because we were kind of ahead of the curve. We talked about this. We had the viewers in here, and in the comments, you guys actually discussed it too, which I love, talking about kind of what Kyle, the way he's felt, and this narrative that he's pushing, that he worries that there's a cookout 2.0. The show kind of finally showed that through the lens of Michael and Brittany, them not being super about it. And mm-hmm. so something I talked about that I think was important for me, at least, to say, and I'll just read it out. So I just talked about how people may still feel unsatisfied by CBS highlighting prejudices that happened on Big Brother, but it's a large improvement to what happened 3 years ago on Big Brother 21 on my season, when they gave essentially a golden boy edit to the winner, and only till the last minute they exposed him as his racist behavior and him himself. And the reason why I said this is because there are many supportive voices when regarding my experience and unfortunately what a lot of other people of color in the show have gone through. But for those same amount of voices that are supportive, there's so many people in our DMs, comments, in person who tell us we're weak, we're crazy, we're stupid for even thinking that, because the show never aired that. So
right.
just the idea that the show aired some of this so that when the house guests come out, they can feel validated. Or the great thing is that people who are viewing it can make an informed decision on how they believe. And that's what I think is important, to show at least both sides of it. Because I know there's going to be people who are watching this who might disagree with how we feel about how Kyle is being a little prejudiced in the way he's creating his strategy moving forward with this narrative. And it's your own, you know, you can hold what you want to and your belief and opinions, but it's good that the show finally, even minusculely, is showing both sides of it. And I think that's kind of what the great thing about the show is. Within the show or within the game, we as house guests have conversations about real life. And I think it's important to show those so viewers like everyone out here can have those same conversations. So, yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I think that we saw the show talk about some of the prejudices that Kyle's having. And this is the thing, is that I think it's really important to, when he comes out, him be aware of the things he said, things he did. He can talk about it, maybe re-explain himself in a different way, or just, you know, learn, educate himself. But the same thing as viewers, hopefully, we can do that as well, too. So let us know what you guys think. I mean, you guys already have in the comments. I love seeing those. And I think this is just good conversation. I don't say mm-hmm. it's a debate. I think it's conversation on real life issues.
Yeah. Now, another person who needs to educate themselves on this is Julie Chen Moonves. You know, other than last week, we had joked about having a segment on the podcast called Julie Chen Moonves is wrong about blank. Because each week she has an interview where she talks to Dalton Ross. And last week she didn't say anything. This week, yeah, she's back and she's wrong. You know, because he asked a question about Kyle and she basically wanted to act like there was nothing wrong with what Kyle had been saying. And she even got the whole timeline wrong by claiming it might have been Taylor saying she wouldn't nominate Jasmine as a fellow black woman that caused Kyle to think that way. Even though he started voicing these thoughts about you know, this supposed alliance before Taylor was HOH. So, you know, we talked about Kyle last week. It doesn't work that way. It's, you know, you would think someone in production might stop her from saying stupid things like that. Like, hey, Julie, I know we only showed it on TV last night, but this has actually been going on for like 2 weeks or so, maybe a little more. So don't talk about something that happened 1 week ago, less than a week ago, as mm-hmm. being the inciting factor. But no, they just did it. And there it was in Dalton's article. And it's just like, again, it just shows Julie as the host has no clue what's actually going on.
I think she actually probably, you know what? I have a different take. All right, David, I'm going to disagree. I think Julie knows exactly what's going on in the show. She actually has been watching each episode of Why Blink Lost and was upset that we had to take away her segment where we said dumb things Julie says. So she said, I need to come back for the crown, whatever it may be, you know, any press is good press. And so she wanted to say that. And here's the thing. I've heard a lot of people say that exact same thing, that I think the things that Taylor said spurred him, spurred Kyle to feel this way. The timeline doesn't work out. And you can argue maybe now it confirms what he said. But here's the thing is, what Kyle said, he thinks that all the folks are working, from Indy to Joseph to Taylor, Terrence. He lumped every person who isn't white, not even just Black houses, every person who isn't white together into this virtual alliance. And there's nothing wrong with discussing possibilities or the thought that there might be a potential other cookout. I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is, though, is that to assume that's going to happen and then make an action plan based on that narrative, now convince other white house guests that it's actually happening when it isn't happening and form a strategy around it. They're still forming a strategy around it. It still hasn't occurred. Terrence is on his side. Joseph and Taylor are together because they are connected there. And I think we saw Brittany and Michael talk around the lines of why they feel uncomfortable with it, because it wasn't just one conversation Powell has been having. He's been having multiple conversations about this to the point where they start to feel, ooh, Kyle, we're not really seeing the same viewpoint you're seeing. We can still work together, but it doesn't have to be based on race lines.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Michael said something. We saw, you know, on the show, Michael say something similar to what you said. Like, if I saw evidence that there was an alliance, then yes, I would, you know, strategically work on that. But I don't see it. Yeah. So. All right. Well, we covered a lot of ground, a lot of it dealing with Kyle. Is there anything else you want to discuss before?
No, I mean, I think it's time we talk about Indy. I think, honestly, we still will end at the same time we would have. This was a good little filler content for it. That's no shade. It's just that I don't know what your notes look like, David, but my notes right here, unfortunately,
pretty short.
There's not much as well to talk about. But okay, well, let's get into it. Let's try it
out. All right. Well, before we get to the rules, I do want to mention that the Survivor version of the rules is comes in a shorter and much more colorful version in poster form. You could just go to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed, scroll down to that poster you see on the screen, and click it. And in addition to the poster, there are other ways to get the rules so you have them with you at all times. You can get the t-shirt. There's the poster t-shirt. There's the checklist t-shirt. There's the checklist mug. So you can get all of those again at robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed.
Perfect. I mean, I love seeing you. I'm a little disappointed we're not having like a very exciting shirt you're wearing. I mean, I love the polo. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But last week you had a nuclear explosion on there.
Yeah. This kind of describes everything about Indy's game, not just kind of plain.
Got it. Smart.
Yeah, we'll go with that as the reason.
Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back, so let's get back to the show.
Well, let's get into it. I want to hear the rules. I want to hear what you think.
Well, Indy was not exactly the best player in the house, but that also meant she wasn't necessarily a huge threat either. How did the target end up on her after all the possible options through the week? We'll figure out where she went wrong as we determine why Indy lost. The first and most important rule is, of course, to scheme and plot. And here is where we have our first problem, in that Indy was not exactly the brilliant strategist of the house. She wasn't even Jasmine, who thinks she's the brilliant strategist of the house. In fact, back on July 29th, Indy said she didn't want to lie or stab someone in the back to win the money. Unfortunately for her, not lying or backstabbing kind of takes away a huge chunk of your options in Big Brother. But she told Mike Bloom, $750,000 is a lot, but no one can buy my heart. Nobody can buy who I am. Nobody can buy my honesty, my loyalty, how amazing I am. And I hope people in the house realize that. Don't put a price tag on who you are. The thing is, this game does put a price tag on who you are, or at least how you are playing this game. And Indy clearly wasn't willing to actually play.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think that Indy kind of took this game in the format of Big Brother Brazil, which is incredibly popular. It's actually the most, if people vote to whoever goes out each week in Big Brother Brazil, and there are
people
more
people being
votes,
the viewing audience,
the viewing audience, of Brazil. There's more votes in Big Brother Brazil's final vote eviction than there is in their presidential elections. That's how much people care about. You are a superstar. People who are on that show for 13 days amass about 9 million followers on Instagram. It is just in a different level. So I think the idea in that show is you really, I mean, they have colorful characters, but they want to be as good to the public as possible to gain that mass. So I feel like Indy, who has that background, who has a lot of fans in from Brazil, what we found on social media, wanted to employ that type of strategy. Her scheming basically was trying to be her being as kind and good of a person to the public and players in there, which she did fall into a...
We'll get to that, too.
Yeah. But I will say, week one, we saw her try to be part of that Girls Alliance. We saw that get imploded once Paloma had her unfortunate departure. And then we didn't really see much true strategy in her in the following weeks. I mean, do you remember any? Do you have anything in your list there?
No, I mean, even if you don't want to lie or backstab, you at least need to create strategic bonds. But she didn't, you know, just this week. At one point, she said she didn't have a relationship with Taylor and they didn't talk game. Similarly, she told Monty that she understood the reason Kyle didn't use the veto, which was that they didn't talk game. And then she finally decided it was time to talk game and wanted to talk to Kyle, Monty, Taylor, Turner. You can't go 5 weeks into a Big Brother game and not talk strategy or game with a huge chunk of the people you're playing with.
Yeah, no, you just can't. I mean, you just have to have, like, regardless of how you feel about somebody in this Big Brother house, anybody who's won the game has been able to have some form of conversation and baseline with all the players in the house. So that way, when the time arises, when you need to call in a favor, when you need to talk about a strategy, whatever it may be, you don't have to work from square A. You don't have to ask them about their background. You don't need to ask them about what they do for a living. You already know those things, and you've talked to them in some shape or form about strategy, hopefully in the past. So when you employ a strategic conversation with them, it's not out of the blue. It's not like there's no foundation. Unfortunately, when Indy had these conversations, like you said, there was no foundation with any of the members she discussed with.
Right. I mean, maybe she didn't talk to those people because she knew she wanted Taylor and the others out. So, you know, why bother when she wasn't going to lie to them per what she had said? But it goes back to the fact that you can't seriously play Big Brother without ever lying. And, you know, even beyond that, it's not clear what Indy's overall game actually was beyond what you said, which is basically being popular. You know, even her supposed ally, Jasmine, said she didn't know what Indy's game was. You know, and then Indy would do things like saying, like she told Kyle that his showmance with Alyssa was bad for her game, which, yeah, it was, since the showmance was the reason Kyle didn't use the veto to save her. But it's still not smart to tell him that. And again, I don't even know what it really means.
Yeah, no, I just... Each week, I think she was really hoping to be able to float by. And I wonder, and I'd be almost curious to see if there was, you know, maybe I'm giving a little too much credit, but I'd be curious to see that. Maybe she thought the lack of strategical conversations with other players would make her seem very invisible and very like under radar. So her goal was to kind of essentially float by, and we don't need to go against Indy because we don't, she's not against us. But I think the issue was, is she might, people might have not felt she was against them, but they didn't feel like she was with them. And I think right. That was an issue, that she just, at least by the bare minimum, if you're going to play a low level, you know, like a floater game where you try to be, you know, a butterfly on the wall, you need to still make sure people who are in power or just across the house know that you're not gunning for them. And so when right. You have that question mark, you become, you know,
yeah.
a target.
Yeah. All right, we can move on to the second rule, which says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. Now, considering we just talked about Indy not really seeming to have a strategy to begin with, there doesn't seem at first glance to be a whole lot to discuss here, except that when she did try to get a few people on her side this week, she immediately got busted for it. One instance was when Indy went to Taylor after nominations to say there were so many times Indy protected her in the game and she didn't even know that. Yeah, the reason Taylor didn't know about those times is they never happened. You know, Monty said exactly that to Taylor when she relayed the story to him. Now, was Indy actually lying, which she said she wouldn't do, or had she convinced herself of some fairy tale? Considering her responses to interview questions, I suspect she's convinced herself, but telling herself that story doesn't mean everyone else is going to ignore reality.
Yeah, I think that when you tell yourself a lie for so many times, it becomes easier to say the lie if you can believe it yourself. And I think that's important sometimes in Big Brother, but you need to be able to find a distinction between those. And I want to pull it back just a little bit in the sense that let's go back a little week. So with her, she didn't really scheme too much. So she was good on 50% the time. Mm-hmm. However, from not letting people know about it, I just remember when we had those five people who came to Michael during his HOH week. Oh, yes. This past week when Daniel went home, they all went one by one by one. I always thought the conversation when Indy went to talk with Michael stuck out like a sore thumb. She was talking to him, says, I don't care what you do, you can do whatever you want, but I think it might be smart to do this. She's pitched the same idea these other four players who are pitching. Indy was pitching that. And her whole strategy of basically not talking strategy with anybody is dismantled then, because why out of the blue is Indy regurgitating the exact same thing? It just becomes so obvious. So she didn't make it secret of who she was wanting to work with versus, you know, everybody. She just let that all out through the actions when she did try to scheme, because she didn't scheme normally. It became so apparent.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and then another example was that Brittany knew Indy was in the Five Swatters Alliance in addition to the Women's Alliance, but Indy said it was only the women for her. Now, of course, that wasn't really the reason Brittany voted her out, but it was a useful excuse, and it showed Indy couldn't really control her game, even though she was like, no, 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 that was never really real. That mm-hmm. was this, that was that. But it's like, yeah, but you've lost control. You do not have any handle on the narrative here.
No, exactly. I mean, I guess she gets 50% on this rule because she didn't scheme too much. But I think she went to the whole other level where she didn't scheme enough that it right. became so transparent when she did try to scheme.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Well, the third rule talks about the need to be flexible. Now, when I think of Indy, flexible is definitely not a word that comes to mind for many reasons, some of which we've gone over already in terms of strategy. Some we'll get to soon in terms of the way she acted. What did you think of her in terms of this rule?
Flexibility. I think she was unable to see the tides were going one way or the other. She was convinced week in and week out whether Joseph was with her, whether Michael was with her, whether Kyle was with her. I mean, by the end of it, she thought Kyle was the one who orchestrated her going home and wanted her to go home. Kyle didn't really want her so much to go home. Excuse me. He wanted Ellison not to go home.
Right.
And so her lack of flexibility was that she never jumped ship on anybody else's boat, essentially, when she had the opportunity so many times, because she wasn't a target for so many weeks. So any other week, she could have jumped around and made other relationships, but she chose to continue to surround herself with the same people that she did from week one, who one by one by one by one were going home until then it caught up to her. So I'm trying to think of moments, and I'm looking at my notes here, but there were very few, if none, I have opportunities where she did show true flexibility. I mean, being kind to Taylor is not being flexible. Like, that's not exactly
right.
That's a very low bar. And if anything, I don't think she really was that kind.
Right. Right. I mean, part of being flexible is having your finger on the pulse of what everyone else is doing. She never had any clue what everyone else was doing. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we found that out when Michael revealed in his, you know, goodbye video. Oh, here are these people in this alliance. Now she's like, oh yeah, I thought that. No, you didn't. Stop it. You had no clue. So yeah, it's hard to be flexible and go with the flow of the house if you don't have any idea what's going on in the house.
Exactly. And then lastly, I'll just add to that, her gameplay, the way she's talking about it now, the way she talked about an exit interview and when she left the house, literally talking to the house guests, seemed very inflexible. And I worry about this when it comes to, and we'll talk about in that later in the rules about her jury management. I worry though with her flexibility, she has a way she thinks the game should be played where it needs to be an honorable person, not lying, not deceiving. I don't care if I win the 750K if I hold my honor. And that just, you can't play a flexible game like that. To play a flexible game in Big Brother, you have to be able to lie. You have to be able to manipulate. And there's lines that you might not want to cross that are outside of game, within the game. But to not have that notion that anybody should be able to do that, and if they don't do that, they just don't deserve to win. That really dictated what it seems like her gameplay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the fourth rule says players should not let their emotions control them. And Indy could certainly get emotional. And, you know, that was definitely the case when she became one of the people who fixated on getting rid of Taylor for no good reason. She wasn't a leader in this regard, mostly because she wasn't a leader at all in the house. And, you know, she wasn't as openly forceful about it as people like Paloma, Nicole, Daniel. But she kept bringing it up, even though there was no valid strategic reason to do so. You know, I don't know. She just kept bringing it up. But now seems to be something else that she's conveniently just forgotten about based on her interviews.
Yeah, I mean, I think in this part of the rule, she really, I think people had more expectations that she might actually come off a little bit more emotional about things, be a little bit more fiery. About, you know, this is the way she talked about she's going to come into here blazing hot, go against people, things like that nature, play a smart game. And I think if her strategy was a little different, her temperament was in the right place. She didn't really let her emotions too many times outside of those initial weeks get ahead of herself in a way that it truly damaged her game. So, I mean, emotions weren't the reason why she left the game. I mean, maybe a lack of emotions. I feel like some players would have appreciated knowing how much she did truly care about them in a game level place. I mean, if she expressed how she's been expressing in exit interviews about how much she actually did care about Taylor and how much she was watching her back in these
supposedly
hypothetical situations, yeah. I think it would have helped her. So
yeah.
We didn't, unlike the other house guests where we've had a very large slew of emotional stability or emotional, you know, a spectrum of emotion. She didn't really have that in the reason of her going home.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's go on to the fifth rule, which tells players they need to pretend to be nice and play the social game. You've talked about her, you know, trying to, you know, play herself up for the audience. How would you describe her ability on both of these things?
It's tough because, I mean, here's the thing is that even if you watch the live feed, you didn't really get to see too much of Indy in situations where one-on-one or where she really had much conversations going. And the show completely neglected her. I think it's so wild to me that we got a two-hour episode on Thursday night. And within those 2 hours, I can't remember barely a single thing Indy said because you would think, like, you should give attention.
I'm a loser.
Yeah. They gave her the only coverage she got was basically her veto punishment. And so we didn't see that much we weren't given that much from Indy to see how her ability was to play the social game, to be nice to others. She wasn't very nice to Taylor. She says she was, but she really wasn't in those initial weeks. Other players she was fairly nice to, but I think, like you said, to be nice, to have a social game, you have to have a pulse on what's going on in the house. And unfortunately, Indy just didn't have that pulse on it.
Yeah, I mean, she claimed at one point she didn't do anything wrong. She didn't talk crap about people. She didn't make bad promises, etc. Again, she said she defended Taylor. And when Mike Bloom asked her that, she stood by it. She further told Sharon at Us Magazine that she didn't remember ever saying anything bad about Taylor. So I guess she just forgot about when Taylor told her that the slop soup tasted good and Indy was pissed and felt disrespected and basically said she should throw it in her face, or how she played that smaller but ongoing role in attacking Taylor behind her back, or back on July 29th when she said the guys needed to stop talking to Taylor and she hated seeing them with Taylor. You know, and these are just some minor instances of that. So it seems pretty clear to me that her ability to pretend to be nice goes beyond just doing it for other people. And she's now pretending to herself that she was nice all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, I didn't even think about that part. I think she has convinced herself in that nature. And sometimes it's a, you know, it's a mechanism you have to do to shield yourself from criticism or different things like that. I'm not saying it's good. It's just something sometimes people do. I'd be curious to see how maybe her mind adapts in the jury house, if she feels the same way from this time to week, you know, last week of the house. So I'm interested to see that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting when she gets out of the jury house and her modified memories are confronted by the reality of what was actually on camera. Is she going to revert to the, oh, you don't see everything? Those were out of context, which none of which matters because she said what she said. You know, we'll see what she says at that point. But, you know, but the thing is, Taylor wasn't the only person who was the target of Indy not upholding this rule. At one point this week, Taylor was surprised that everyone in the leftovers didn't want Indy gone because of how she drove everyone crazy. Even outside of the leftovers, people like Terrence, Daniel, Jasmine had talked previously about Indy being rude. Jasmine, who has no self-awareness whatsoever, was upset at how Indy came at people during Cidergate and bossed people around. Daniel, also completely lacking in self-awareness, said Indy did not have a good social game. So basically, everyone saw it except Indy herself.
Yeah, I think you covered it well. I'm trying to think of more words to give it to this, but I feel like there's not much to say. We didn't see enough on her on the real show. The stuff we did see wasn't, it didn't help her case in any means. I mean, I really think she being saying a butterfly on the wall would be very nice. It was the paint on the wall and it was drying and that was what it was, because she didn't play the game. She didn't scheme in here and just pretending to be nice to people. Somehow people still feel positive. I like my paint on my wall. I like the paint on my wall, but somehow they didn't like her at all. So
yeah.
Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. We're back. So let's get back to the show.
All right. Well, the sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat, and Indy wasn't really seen as much of one, which is why most of the leftovers wanted to target Alyssa instead. As Brittany told Taylor, Indy knew nothing about the game. You know, as you talked about, she was more focused on the Brazilian version. You know, we already discussed how she wasn't strategizing, how her social game wasn't exactly great. So that takes away a lot of the possible threatening aspects for her.
Yeah, I think it was ironic because when she came out of the house, Julie explains to her about here's the leftovers, here's what's going on. Michael is actually a double agent, and she's like, aha, yes, because she felt validated that she was taken out because she was a threat now. She's like, I just couldn't make sense. Why would they want to get me out? But here's the thing is she really wasn't a threat in any shape, form to win the game at this point. But you want to get somebody out like in because you don't know where their head's at. They might be a rational player because at least with a rational player who knows the game, you can kind of guess what they might do. But somebody like Indy, who's basing her game on who's potentially the nicest person or who's not lying enough, that would be a worrisome thing to do that.
Yeah.
If anything, I would have, if they knew this was her mindset, I would have said try to get her out before jury, because the worrisome part of it now is that, will she award somebody who really just played a game who did nothing versus somebody who had to backstab, lie, and steal to get there, because she just views them as maybe playing a more honest game.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, another part of being a threat, of course, is in terms of who you'll nominate or winning challenges. Now, we heard Turner say he thought Indy would nominate him and Taylor if she won HOH. Joseph also felt like Indy was coming for him, though considering how much she said she loves him in post-game interviews, I have to wonder if Joseph was actually being truthful there. Monty did bring up the idea of getting rid of Indy instead of Terrence because she was, quote, a way bigger threat to win competitions. I don't know that I ever would consider her a way bigger threat, but I think they were mostly looking at things in like the physical sense and comparing the two of them. And then, of course, what happens? They vote out Indy, and Terrence immediately went and proved them wrong.
Yeah. I think here's the issue is that you're saying that you might think Joseph might not be telling the truth in that, but I think he is telling the truth because she didn't make it clear enough to the people that she actually didn't want to put on the block if she had the power that she was working with them or really truly didn't, because they felt such a lukewarm fellowship between them and her. They didn't know. They must have felt that she must be much stronger with somebody else in the house, because why, if I'm one of her stronger allies, she's feeling this lukewarm towards. So you become a threat to anybody's game when they don't know if you're on their side. You don't even have to necessarily be against them, just not on their side. And unfortunately, she did not clarify with anybody in the house that she was on their side, which if she did that the following weeks beforehand, she didn't even start from week one. If she started from week three, I don't think she would have been in this position. I think she would have had a lot more people on her side who were saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't get Indy out right now. Maybe she would still use her. But no one felt like they could use her.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the seventh rule says to trust almost nobody. And as we've discussed, Indy played this game with her heart, not any real scheming. So everything she did was based on trust. A day or two before the vote, when it started to become clear that people were not going to keep her, Indy complained she didn't think she'd have to campaign to the people she trusted. But that's exactly it. She trusted them without any strategic backing. She just thought she liked them. They liked her. They would all go arm in arm further into the game. That's not how Big Brother works.
Mm-mm. Big Brother is a game about currency, all right? Social currency. Trust is only one of those social currency. And you have so many different things. You have from power, you have some ability, you have alliance. All these different part components come together to help you sell yourself to somebody else. Yes, Indy was a very trusting person, and I think people actually consider that as a great currency with her. The issue was she was trusting with too many people across the board, and she didn't have any true information to share that was valuable to them. She was getting information fed to her. She wasn't feeding information to others. And because of that, your valuability to anybody gets a little bit lower.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know if valuability is a word. I think I just made that up on the spot, but it's going to be a word now.
That's right. So, all right, now we can move to, for the first time this season, to Appendix A. And that deals with the jury phase of the game. And in retrospect, we could have mentioned it last week, because one reason some people wanted Daniel out last week was so he wouldn't be on the jury. And as a matter of fact, right after we started recording, Ovi, you said to me, hey, are we going to get to Appendix A next week? I'm like, oh, we probably should have done it this week. But really, we had plenty of other things to discuss with you. So this appendix is about how players need to plan ahead for making it to final two, how they should work the jury. And we saw a number of different players. So the reason it's an appendix, just to make it clear, is it doesn't necessarily talk about the person who was voted out. As we get deeper into it, it might. When we get to the final two, it could. Certainly, we've seen people lose because of their decisions leading into the jury phase. But for right now, it's mostly going to be talking about other people as it applied to Indy. And so you know, we saw a number of different players this week trying to act like they were supporting Indy. I would say Michael was the star here. He pushed hard to give her a sympathy vote, and then he was the only one to do so. He revealed the leftovers to her in his goodbye message, thus taking away blame from himself and vowing to send those who did her wrong into the jury after her. You know, in her interview with Mike Bloom, Indy said, "I adore Michael. So strong. He's the perfect player for this game. You cannot touch him. There are no words for him. He is amazing in every single thing he does." So unless he really, really screws up somehow, sounds like he got himself a locked in vote if he's in final two.
I agree. I think that Michael did a great job at playing this week out with the idea that she's going to be in the jury. I mean, he's a lawyer, you know, so he's planning out who he wants his jury to be. And I think one thing that was really smart is that, and I think this is something we can kind of start thinking in consideration for potentially next week with it, but Michael is already planning his turn on the leftovers. Mm-hmm. He put that seed into Indy. And so by saying in the messages away, he's saying that, hey, I'm going to get revenge for you, whether it might not be this week or next week. If he's in the house, he's already planning to turn on leftovers. He sends one of them home. That's confirming to Indy that he was true to his word, which she really, really appreciates. And so that helps him so much. I mean, we see the other players, and I don't know if we're going to talk, if this is how we'll talk about it, because this part's new to me too. But I mean, I think unfortunately Joseph did a disservice to him to try playing so sweet and saying, "I didn't know what was going on," and all these things, and Michael basically upturning what he said.
Right.
I think it's going to be really interesting. The only thing I'll say is that I worry about Kyle and Taylor, the way that happened. You keep talking. My Mac's about to die. I need to just plug it in real quick.
Oh, well, yeah. Kyle is who she blames for her eviction. She told Dalton Ross that, you know, and she's upset with Brittany for making her feel bad just before voting her out. Because remember, with Indy, it's all about feelings. And she said about both of them, "I really don't want them to win the game." Now, that's never anything you want to hear from a juror. You know, needless to say, if either of them are in final two, they're going to have a tough time getting her vote. They almost need to be the final two for one of them to get her vote.
I agree. Okay. Just had to get that all situated. It was about to die. I saw the 5%. I was like, "Oh, look at this." The Indy right now is trying to kill my computer right now. They're trying to stop this. I think we're going to see how this plays out. I think she could be one of the most interesting jury members on the jury as we move forward. Because here's the thing, is usually as a jury member, you have the first jury member can set a tone as it goes to kind of talk about how you want to do this. So if she is really convincing, which we didn't see in the house, but if she's convincing that the person we need to award who's going to win this needs to be a person of high standards to an upstanding, you know, person who doesn't backstab and lie and cheat, I wonder how that will influence other members who might come after her. Will that be able to work on Alyssa? Will that be able to work on Jasmine, Kyle, etc.? That might be difficult for somebody's game in there.
Right. All right. Well, with that, it is about time to wrap things up. So what are your final thoughts about Indy?
I think Indy's this game player that actually I felt like I was gaslighted by, because when I thought about Indy, I was like, okay, she's playing a low ground game. And then immediately, so many fans who were actually Brazilian fans flooded my inboxes, flooded all my comments, and they were talking about how they love Indy. And I was convinced, I'm like, man, Indy has so many fans out there. She does have a big population of fans, but I was convinced maybe Indy might be able to play a floater game, because at first I didn't give her much credit, and she survived the first week. Seemed like she was in a position where maybe she could work things out, but unfortunately, as week in, week went out, she wasn't playing a dead fish game as a ploy. It was just her game. So, I wish I could say Indy broke most of our rules on here, but she just didn't use the rules. She didn't play the game, so she couldn't even break the rules, really. So I think it wasn't a question of if, it was a question of when Indy would go home. And so I'm not too surprised, and hoping the following ones
are a little bit more interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Indy said in an interview, I didn't leave the house because I was not great enough or was not a good enough player. It was basically because I was not part of their alliance. But that continues to show that she missed the point of the game. Yes, she did leave in large part because she was not a good enough player. And being part of a good enough player is getting into good alliances. Indy played U.S. Big Brother like it was an international version, where you don't strategize much and you hope the audience likes you. Well, in her mind, that's what she was doing. But I suspect she might have been voted out around now anyway due to her negative behavior, all of which she has seemingly and conveniently wiped from her mind. This was one reason she wasn't in the Leftovers after all. And also one reason the Leftovers decided she should be the one to go once Kyle put his foot down with the veto. I mentioned earlier that as the week progressed and Indy grew concerned that she might not have the votes, she got upset and said she didn't expect to have to plead her case like that. Welcome to Big Brother, Indy. She was a little late when she had to actually try to play the game, and she also made some mistakes even at that point, although her fate was already essentially sealed. It wasn't just that she was outside the main alliance. It was the way she played the game, or didn't, that put her outside that alliance to begin with. And that is why Indy lost.
Well put. Well put. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I'm curious if any of the house guests are ever going to watch this back from DB24. Because it'd be very interesting. Because I would love to hear maybe if there was any other strategies that he had in mind, especially with Indy. If there was something, maybe she lies to convince herself, and maybe she could lie and convince us some shit. Yeah, you put it best, David.
Yes, yes. All right, well, before we continue, let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available in poster and T-shirt and mug form. Again, at robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed.
And also, don't forget that both of us are very active on several different social media platforms where we discuss Big Brother and a number of other topics. On Twitter, I am at the Obi Kabir, where you can see me get amassed by many people who disagree with my opinion on Big Brother. So join and disagree with me.
Which is a good way to figure out people who to block. I definitely found several people to block when they responded to you yesterday.
There's a good amount. I stopped blocking as much just because they make a new account, but it is what it is. I'm all for discourse, so jump in there. But you can also find David at David Bloomberg. We're also both on TikTok, where basically our host right here, David, who is our TikTok influencer, is at David_Bloomberg, and I am at Basmati Boy. David has lately been posting an average of 2 videos each day, including 1 to 2 minutes on mini wide blank calls for Survivor South Africa, which I just started this past week, thanks to David, and plenty of other Big Brother videos. He also reposts those on his Instagram at David.E.Bloomberg, and so you can find him on there. Is there anything you want to add about that one, David?
That my videos are longer than 10 seconds, typically.
So longer than 10 seconds. So if you still get short form media there, but a little longer. And you can find me on Instagram at Obi Kabir, where many of you guys have came into my DMs, talked about the streams, these videos, had some conversations on Kyle, other house guests. I love talking to you guys there, so please let us know. So we're going to be posting this on here, but please let us know where you saw this from, whether it's Twitter, whether it's TikTok, what you came here and joining on the conversation.
Yes. And as we do wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. You can get access to 2 special patron only Big Brother podcasts, early live access to former player interviews and more. And when Rob isn't talking directly to everyone, there are the Facebook groups and Discord, with a great community of people where you can talk about Big Brother, Survivor, life in general. So again, you could support shows like ours and everything on the network by becoming a patron at robhasawebsite.com/patron, or just click the link at our robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed page. And also make sure you're subscribed to all of the RHAP podcasts by going to our, again, yxlostfeed page. You'll find the great content, like the daily live feed updates, the Big Brother Stockwatch, and much more. With that, I'd like to thank Scott St. Pierre for the editing done on this podcast, Will from America for the theme song, Lay's for the endorsement that they will no doubt be giving me soon. And thanks, of course, to you, Ovi, for once again joining me.
Always. Thank you so much, David. This is always a pleasure. Can't wait to go into next week's Wide Blank Plus. And thank you for everyone who tuned in this week.
Yes. And we'll be back next week discussing two different players who get voted out by two parts of the split house, which should certainly be interesting.
Well, that'll be a long episode. Can't wait.
Yes. We will see you then. Bye.
This is Wide Blank Lost. And this is Wide Blank Lost. Ooh, baby, this is Wide Blank Lost.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.